This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, John Feinstein is a columnist for the Washington Post, a Golf Channel contributor, and an award-winning author. His latest book is The Legends Club, and we'll ask him what he's got cooking here a little bit. It's a pleasure to welcome John Feinstein back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, John.
John, always good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Let me start by asking you this week's poll question that I have on the show. Who's going to have a better year, Jordan Spieth or
Jordan Spieth?
You think, or better than Jason Day's?
Yes. I spent a lot of time with Jordan Spieth in the last year because I've been researching this book on the Ryder Cup that you're going to ask me about later. His approach, his attitude to me is just so impressive. I mean, he, on the one hand, will say, look, I didn't have a terrible year in 2016. I won twice. I could have, would have, should have won the Masters. I was on a winning Ryder Cup team. But I know I'm better than that. I know why people are saying it was a down year because of the extraordinary year he had in 2015. And I just think he's the kind of guy who figures things out, who learns from mistakes, who, it should be remembered, is still only 23 years old, which is amazing. And I'm not saying Jason Day will have a bad year, but I think just Jordan Spieth will have a better year. I think the two guys who we're going to talk about at the end of the year for Player of the Year, and part of this may be wishful thinking because I like them both, are Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy.
Well, that was last week's question. Who has a better year, Rory or Dustin Johnson? You think Rory's going to have a better year?
I take Rory, yes. I think that, again, we all know Dustin Johnson's amazing talent. I just think Rory is really, really determined. You know, he hasn't won a major since 2014, which for most humans is not a long drought. But for Rory, it feels like a long drought, and he didn't like it. He sure as heck didn't like it when somebody asked him last summer if he was Ringo. I can tell you that much. and that Jordan and Jason and Dustin had become the other three Beatles in no particular order. And I just have a feeling he's going to win at least one major and have a couple of those dominating weeks where he wins by six.
Do you think he catches a break? I mean, we'll talk about Tiger, but should everything go as planned, Tiger will be here in April. Rory mm-hmm. will be going for the career Grand Slam.
Yes.
Do you think Tiger
yeah.
being here kind of takes some of the pressure off Rory and maybe this
it
year?
It does. Okay. No, I mean, Rory loves it when Tiger's in town because I think they all do nowadays because they don't feel like he's unbeatable as everybody once did, but that his presence does take some of the spotlight off of them. I remember talking to Rory at Valhalla on Thursday morning. He was playing in the afternoon, first round at the PGA that year. And I said, tell me you weren't the happiest guy on this campus yesterday when the entire media corps, except for me, was standing there at Tiger Woods' empty parking spot waiting to see if he was going to show up. He said, best thing that could have happened to me. Because he just won the British. And now he comes to the PGA, and nobody's paying attention to him. And he was under the radar, really, until he had the lead late on Saturday, which was perfect for him.
Yeah. Talking about Tiger, I've heard you say you have no idea what to expect from him this year. But let me ask you this. He's announced that he'll play in four events. We can assume he'll play at Bay Hill. So he'll
right.
play five events before the Masters. Would you be surprised if he came to the Masters with a victory?
Yes, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be stunned. Nothing Tiger Woods can do stuns me.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised. I still, you know, everybody's talking about the 24 birdies in the Bahamas. That's fine. you know, and he made more birdies than anybody. It was a very easy golf course. A lot of guys made a lot of birdies, but he made the most. But he still only beat two players when all was said and done. He still has some kinks in the swing. You still wonder how he will putt under real pressure in an 18-man exhibition to become 17 because mm-hmm. Justin Rose had the WD after the first day. It's hardly pressure. And it's not like playing in San Diego or Dubai or L.A. or Bay Hill or Honda. It's huge pressure. But it's more pressure because it's a real event. You got to make a cut, and there are more people there. I mean, there looked like there were about 100 people there in the Bahamas. So would I be surprised if he's won? Yes. Would I be stunned? No. And what I've said to people is, you know, the question always, will Tiger Woods win this year? And my answer is, I won't be surprised if he wins. I also won't be surprised if he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just don't know how, and he doesn't know how the back will hold up when he plays four times in 5 weeks.
We're talking with John Feinstein here on the Augusta Golf Show. A new commissioner at the helm of the PGA Tour, what should be his top priority?
Pace of play.
Hmm.
I'm a Nazi on this. The other day I'm watching in Hawaii, and Hideki Matsuyama, I swear to God, I wrote a chapter in the book while he was lining up a putt. I mean, he's not much worse than most guys. I mean, Jason Day is worse than he is. Other guys are just brutally slow. Jordan's still too slow. He is aware of his problem, at least, and is trying to do something about it. To me, it's not that hard to play fast or reasonably fast. And rules officials tell me all the time, when they put a group on the clock and they have to pick it up to get back into position,
yeah,
almost inevitably the three players involved or the two players involved play better because they're thinking less. Golf is a sport where one of the main crimes is overthinking. And the tour just basically turns its head. Well, you know, if you have 10 slow times, you get fined $20,000. That's nothing. And it takes 10 bad times. And getting a bad time is hard because you got to be put on the clock.
Right.
And then you get a warning, and then you get a bad time. And you got to do that 10 times, and if you do it 10 times in a year, you get fined $20,000. Big deal. If they started saying, you're on the clock, and the first time you go over the time, you are assessed a stroke penalty, you think guys would pick it up?
We just had a national championship college football game. I think it ended.
It still hasn't ended.
I think it ended an hour ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this a problem throughout all sports?
Just 10 minutes before you called, I filed a column for CBSSportsRadio.com saying exactly that. The football games, college football games, are just brutally long. The notion that you have to stop the clock on every first down is ridiculous. The 20-minute halftimes, all the replays, all ridiculous. NFL's not as bad, but is still too long, too many replays, too long, too many commercials, God knows. Major League Baseball is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have four-hour postseason games, nine-inning postseason games. Golf is too slow. About the only sport that I don't have a time problem with, college basketball takes way too long.
Yeah.
Too many replays, too many fouls, too long a halftime. But the only sport I don't really have a problem with in terms of pace of play is hockey. You know, they get out, and even there they have 19 minutes between each period. It should be 15 max. The NFL is 12, and everybody seems to be able to play in the second half. So, yes, it's a huge problem across sports. And, of course, it's driven by television. It's driven by dollars. And that's why probably they won't even attempt to put the genie back in the bottle. I mean, they're talking a little bit about the fact that the college football games are taking way too long because they're closing in on 4 hours on average. And then the minute you bring it up, the athletic directors say, well, we need that 20-minute for the pomp and pageantry of college football at halftime, and you know we need all the replays. No, you don't. Why are you even paying the 8 on-field refs when every single call where there's any doubt at all, you got to go to replay?
Did I hear you're writing a Ryder Cup book?
You heard that? Yes.
Is that what's next? When's that coming out?
That will be out in the fall, in October.
Oh, okay.
Late October.
Okay.
And I'm grinding right now on the final chapters. I'm finally, after writing 100,000 words, I'm finally into the actual play at Hazeltine. So it took me a while to get there, but I'm there.
Earlier this week, Jim Furyk named the 2018 captain. You like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I did. It was inevitable. You know, one of the things the task force did, which is now called the Ryder Cup Committee, because everybody made fun of the task force. One of the great lines was when Davis Love made the comment about this could be one of the greatest teams assembled, and Rory was asked what he thought of that, and he said, well, they have the greatest task force ever assembled. but when they formed the task force, one of the things they did was they said, let's make at least a plan on who the captains are going to be going forward, because we want them to be assistant captains before they're captains, which is what the Europeans have done forever.
Right.
You know, nobody was a captain in Europe without being an assistant captain first, except for Faldo, and we all know how that went. Whereas the Americans were just the opposite. Davis was the first guy to be a captain who had been an assistant captain, because he was one of Corey Pavin's assistant captains. They're actually called vice captains, I know, in 2010. So then they said, okay, let's make a plan here. And the tentative plan, right from December of 2014, has been Davis, Furyk, Stricker, probably Zach Johnson, assuming he's not a factor on the team in 2022, Phil Mickelson, and then maybe Tiger after that. But they had a plan all along. This was no surprise, and I think he's a great pick. You know, he's well liked. He's played in 9 Ryder Cups. He was a vice captain this past year. I mean, to me, I'd say the only other viable candidate really was Fred Couples, and Fred more or less eliminated himself from being a Ryder Cup captain when he captained the President's Cup 3 times. Because for all the talk about how the PGA of America and the PGA Tour love one another, there's still a rivalry.
He is John Feinstein, Washington Post columnist, Golf Channel contributor, award-winning author. John, thank you. I always appreciate you taking the time to do this. We'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, John. I look forward to it.